It is impossible to pray beyond God's ability. Amen? How many of you believe that? How many of us pray prayers that show we believe that? Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to..." You don't need to go there if you don't want to. This is real quick. You can go there though if you want. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." How many of you believe that? How many of you pray prayers that show you believe that? How many of you know that prayer is absolutely essential to our spiritual health and our well-being, both as individuals and as a church? It is 11:10 in the morning. How many of us have already had prayer time today that indicates that we believe that? Folks, my message this morning is not going to be centered around any particular text like usual. I don't have any particular area of Scripture I want to deal with this morning, but instead, this message is going to be centered around just a bunch of miscellaneous thoughts that spin around in my head with regards to prayer life. That's dangerous, I get it. Just things that I've thought over the years that just kind of run through my mind about our prayer life here at Grace, or can I say our lack of prayer life here at Grace? And so my message this morning may not have a flow to it, because I'm just going to deal with some random thoughts that just regularly run through my mind on the subject of prayer here at Grace Baptist Church. And again, as I shared last week going into this Sunday, that it's somewhat ironic we're about to do the war room, because this was something I've been thinking of doing for a while. I feel like God's laid on my heart to bring this. And we're getting ready to start the War Room, which, if you're not familiar with that, it's a movie on prayer. So, not seen it yet, so looking forward to it. Now, even though I don't have a particular text to focus on this morning, even though I'm just going to deal with some of the various thoughts that come to mind on this subject, I do have some goals I want to accomplish this morning. And those goals are, I hope to achieve, the goals here that I hope to achieve is that we would become a church that prays together. A church that prays God-sized things. And a church that prays beyond the norm. Now, please do not think that I just recently come up with this. The things I want to be sharing with you this morning are things I've shared with others here on and off for a few years. I've shared some of these things with just some individuals here. I've talked with my wife about these things over and over the years. I've shared these thoughts on this particular subject with the deacons on more than one occasion. I've talked very candidly about a lot of this a while back when I taught Bruce's Sunday School for a few weeks. My first year here, we did an 8-week video curriculum on this particular subject on Wednesday nights. About 3 years ago in our Wednesday night small groups, we would end it by getting small prayer groups together, 3, 4, 5 people, and just having prayer time together, hoping to possibly bring changes to the subject I want to deal with today. But for some reason, there's not been a whole lot of change in this area, and I'm not sure why. It could be because the last time you guys prayed for something big, you got me, and now you're afraid to pray. I don't know. Well, I didn't hear no amens. I guess that's a good thing. In all honesty, guys, maybe I've just failed somewhere along the way on this subject. This morning, though, I hope to succeed. I truly believe that Grace Baptist Church will never grow beyond its prayer life. And that's biblical. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. We know that. You guys just gave me the rest of the verse. We know it. I think when Christians all get to heaven, we're going to be astonished at what God wanted to do in us and through our churches. But because we failed to seek Him in prayer on some things, He just never done it. I've said over and over that I believe that Grace Baptist Church is filled with people that pray. I don't question that we are prayers here. I do not question that we are praying folks. And so please don't misunderstand me and think that I'm saying that the people here do not pray, because I am not saying that at all. But where I think we fall short in this area is that we are a church that fails to pray together. We're a church that's failing to pray beyond the norm. We're a church that fails to pray God-sized prayers. Now let me add here, though, that I think that's standard in most churches. And that's why most churches are standard. Now, here's where I'm going to get in some trouble, but I'm going to ask you right now. We talked about it in Sunday school. There's this word mercy. Blessed are the merciful. So I'm asking you right now, be merciful toward me here for a minute. Don't get mad at me, because hear what I got to say. Don't jump to conclusions here. Don't get mad. Don't throw something at me. Don't hit me with your Bible. Don't get mad. Stomp out. Just stay with me here. Every week, we have people here giving prayer requests. We get prayer requests on the prayer chain call all the time. In my 4 years here, there have been hundreds and hundreds of prayer requests given. Out of those hundreds and hundreds of prayer requests that have been given, I would say 95% of those are in relation to physical needs, emotional issues, finances, material needs, or work-related. If you don't believe me, those of you that write down the prayer requests, look over your lists. As a matter of fact, and let me reiterate here, be patient. Because I am not saying any of that to belittle anyone. I'm not saying that because those things are wrong to pray for. I'm not saying those things are wrong to pray for. As a matter of fact, I think they are things that we should be praying for. We're told in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and application with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And so that certainly would include us praying for people's physical needs, their emotional needs, their financial needs, their material needs, their work needs. And so before I go any further, I want to say this again, because I know somebody, somewhere, some way, somehow is going to conclude that I'm saying we should not pray for those things. And that is not what I'm saying at all. I'm in full agreement we should pray for those type of things. But if that is all we ever pray about, we are selling ourselves out short of a lot of the other things that God might be wanting to do through this church. Back in the mid 1800s, early 1900s, there was a pastor. His name was A.C. Dixon, and he said this. He said, when we rely upon organization, we get what organizations can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do, and so on. And he says, I don't undervalue any of those things in their proper place. He says, but when we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. Isn't that what we want, folks? Do we want what God can do? To get what God can do, I think it's important that we become a praying church that prays together. Back in Acts 1, we see the very first prayer meeting amongst believers. And the story leading up to that prayer meeting, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but I just want to repeat it just in case somebody's not familiar with it. The disciples have been out on the Mount of Olives with Jesus, and Jesus, they're about a half mile out on the Mount of Olives. Jesus ascends back to the Father. The disciples are standing there kind of dumbfounded. Jesus just left them. In the midst of all their confusion, they return to Jerusalem where they have this prayer meeting going on. Ended up about 120 people in and out of this prayer meeting over a period of 10 days. From that 10-day prayer meeting gathering there, Peter was led to preach a sermon that led 3,000 people to Christ. With that, the church was born. Then while the church was still in its infancy stage, we're told in chapter 2 that the people had devoted themselves to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And from there it says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Shortly after that, Peter and John were arrested. They was thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. And in chapter 4, it says they're released from jail. And it says there that on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. Where it goes on, it says they raised their voices together to God in prayer. And then it goes on, it says at the end of their prayer gathering, it says that they prayed, Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. Then we're told that after they prayed, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Then you go to Acts chapter 12. We got Peter once again. He's been thrown in prison for sharing the gospel. And it says that the church was earnestly in prayer for him. As you read down through the story, we're told that an angel went into the prison in the middle of the night and helped Peter escape jail. But get this. If you read that story, as soon as he gets out of jail, in the middle of the night, it said Peter went to a house where many people were gathered and praying in the middle of the night. Wow! A prayer meeting in the middle of the night. You go to Acts chapter 13. In the midst of a church prayer meeting, God calls Paul and Barnabas to take that first missionary trip. Acts 16. Paul and Silas, they traveled over to Greece. They come up on this group of women that was out having a prayer meeting on the shore of a river. Outside Philippi, which led to that woman we know to be Lydia, placing her faith in Jesus and becoming the first convert in Europe. Shortly after that, the same chapter, Paul and Silas has a little prayer meeting together in jail, once again about midnight. Ends up leading the prison guard and his whole family to the Lord. Here's my point, because you could go on and on and on with examples. I only pulled the ones out of the book of Acts. My point is this. Prayer meetings back then was a common practice. Christians praying together is just what they did. Now, a question that we should ask here is a praying church more effective than a praying individual? And I'm going to say yes and no to that. My answers are yes and no. I say no for a couple of reasons. First of all, there are a lot of individuals in the Bible that pray some tremendous things and get some tremendous things done as a result of an individual's prayer. And secondly, if you remember a few months ago as we walked through the book of James, in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "The fervent prayer of a righteous man, singular, is powerful and effective." But then I say yes for a couple of reasons. Because first of all, in Mark 11, 17, Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer. So you guys know that one. Secondly, when a church prays together, it makes a statement to God that that particular church is dependent upon God for their spiritual strength, their spiritual wisdom, that we need to be an effective church. Prayer gatherings, churches praying together, says to God that we are not depending on our own wisdom to figure all this stuff out. It says we are not trusting in our own abilities to do the things He wants us to do. And thirdly, churches that pray together makes a statement that they're walking in unity. When Christians come together for prayer time, it shows the Father that the people in that church are just walking hand in hand. And if you've ever been a parent of little kids, aren't you just happy when they all get along? John 17, Jesus was praying that big long prayer that's recorded there. And within that prayer, He prayed that the people that would one day become a part of the church down through the centuries, in His prayer, He prayed that His followers would walk in harmony with one another. And when a group of Christians seek God together as a unified body of believers, they are showing God that they are one as Jesus and the Father are one. So my first goal is that we become a church that prays together. My second goal is to get us to become a church that just prays beyond the norm. I said earlier, we're continually praying for people's physical needs and their emotional needs and their financial needs and their material needs and their work-related needs. And again, I want to repeat, those are things we should be praying for, but we need to pray beyond that. I was on another church's Facebook page recently, and on there they had just one prayer request right after another. And I scrolled down through, I would imagine, at least 100 of their prayer requests. And literally, every one of them prayer requests were for people's physical needs, emotional needs, financial needs, material needs, and work-related needs. I only saw one prayer request out of all of those that had one mention of somebody's need for salvation. The church Vic and I attended before we came here, they would put a list of prayer requests in the bulletin each week. And once again, just about every one of those requests had to do with people's physical needs, emotional needs, financial needs, work-related needs, material needs. Folks, I've been in church long enough to know that those kind of prayers are the norm. And even though those are good things to be praying for and about, they do not allow us to see the magnitude of what God can and will do in and through a church that prays beyond the norm. That takes me to my third goal. And that is that we become a church that prays for God-sized things. When you get down to it, the size of a church's prayers indicates the size of their God. The prayer life of a church is a reflection of that church's relationship with their Lord. If we believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, then our prayer should be in agreement with what we believe. Folks, how many of you know that God is far more concerned about healing spiritually dead hearts than physical hearts. How many of you know that God is far more concerned about saving the spiritually sick than healing the physically sick? How many of you know that God is more concerned about our work for Him than He is our work at a workplace? How many of you know that God is more concerned about us building up His kingdom than repairing our kingdom? How many of you know that God is far more concerned about giving people an eternal home in heaven than a temporary home on earth? How many of you know that God is far more concerned about making people happy about their eternity than happy about this world? If God sent a notice out to all His children, this is a hypothetical, so stay with me. If God sent a prayer notice to our house this week, and He said, for 1 week, you are not allowed to pray for anyone's physical needs, emotional issues, financial needs, material needs, or work-related needs. I have a tendency to believe that the majority of Christians wouldn't have anything to pray for. Again, I want to reiterate that there is nothing wrong with praying for all those things. I believe we should be praying for those things. But my goal this morning is to get us to pray beyond those things as a church. Let me ask you something. When was the last time that you were sitting amongst a group of Christians? They were giving their prayer requests out. And how many times have you heard people in those prayer request times say things like, guys, I got a prayer request. I am really struggling with my spiritual growth. And so I would like to ask you guys to pray for my spiritual well-being. When's the last time you heard people giving prayer requests or when they said, you know what, I am having a hard time trusting God in this particular area and I'm asking you to pray for God to give me the faith to believe in Him? When's the last time you heard prayer requests that said, people, I need you to pray for me so I will become more like my Savior? Pray for me that I might live my life in a way that glorifies God. When's the last time you heard prayer requests that said, pray for me that God will show me how I could serve here at Grace Baptist Church? Pray for me that God will make me all that He wants me to be. Pray for me that God would give me the courage and the boldness to speak His gospel wherever I go. You ever hear those prayer requests in your prayer request times? What about this? People's giving their prayer requests. How many times have you heard somebody say, pray for Grace Baptist Church, that God will make this church become everything He wants it to be. Pray for Grace Baptist Church and we might become a church that will do whatever God wants us to do, regardless of what it costs us in finances and reputation. Pray for Grace Baptist Church to become a Spirit-led force in a Satan-filled community. Please pray that God will make Grace Baptist a church that is willing to infiltrate the enemy's territory at all costs for the glory of God. As you look down your prayer request list, do you find any of that? When it comes to prayer, we need to ask ourselves, why am I here? What is my purpose? Why has God left me here on earth? Well, simply put, we're here to represent Him. We're here to speak His truths. We're here to be a light in a dark world and a fallen world. We're here to be an ambassador for His kingdom. When it comes to prayer, we need to ask ourselves, what's the purpose of this church? Well, we're to be a representation of heaven on earth. We're to proclaim the truths of God's Word. We're to warn people the dangers of God's coming wrath and to be a manifestation of Jesus. And then we need to ask ourselves after all that, how does our prayers align up to those things? Here's the deal. If we only think naturally, we will only pray for natural things. If we think spiritually, we will begin to pray for spiritual things. If we think supernaturally, we will pray for supernatural things. Years and years ago, I read at Billy Graham's autobiography, 700-page book. He talked about when he was a teenager back in 1934, that his father had a prayer meeting in the woods on their family farm with a group of Christian businessmen from Charlotte, North Carolina. At that time, Billy Graham wasn't even saved. But years later, Billy Graham's dad told him that in that prayer meeting that they held in the woods on the family farm, there was a man there by the name of Vernon Patterson that prayed that God would raise someone out of Charlotte, North Carolina to preach the gospel to the ends of the world. That is the kind of prayers that comes from someone that is sinking supernaturally. Folks, if we are not willing as a church to come before God, seeking Him to do things that only He can do, that's a good indicator we're just kind of content with where things are. If we're not willing to come together as a body and cry out to God to make us everything He wants us to be, then we are in essence saying that we are trusting in our own abilities to do whatever it is He wants us to do. Let me ask you, how many people here would like to see a spiritual awakening? Trick question though, because the next one's where it hurts. How many of us are willing to pay the price? What if God says, or was to say, I am willing to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think, if you will give me 20 minutes of group prayer before each Wednesday night Bible study. If you will have 20 minutes of corporate prayer at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. If you stay after the Sunday service or the midweek Bible study service for a prayer meeting. If you had an early morning prayer service in the middle of the week. If you would just make one night through the week a night where Grace Baptist Church just comes together for nothing but prayer and worship. Are you willing to pay the price? You can study revival history worldwide, nationally, however you want to do it. You can't find evidence of any spiritual revival ever just happening. It always came as a result of praying people. Every time. See, here's where a lot of people in churches are wrong in their view of prayer meetings. I think my personal opinion is a lot of people consider prayer gatherings to be an extracurricular activity in the life of a church. They think it's a good ideal, that they think it's an important thing, but it's not important enough to be a part of. Too many Christians and churches view prayer meetings as secondary, when reality is, Scripture shows that prayer meetings are an absolute vital part of the health, the well-being, and the effectiveness of a church. Grace Baptist Church will never be better than our prayers. You can't even argue that if you believe in Scripture. If we are going to be a church that believes that it is impossible to pray beyond God's ability, then our prayers will need to be a reflection of what we believe. As I finish up this morning, I just want to say the altar is open for prayer time. I will be back on this subject again next week. I'll know how well it went when I see who's here. And if you don't know what to pray, you're sitting there and you say, you know what, I think what he said is right, but I just don't know what to pray. First place to start is saying, God, I don't know what to pray, but I want our church to become a praying church that is praying God-sized prayers. Show us how to do that. And I want to end with this. The absolute most important prayer anyone can ever pray is, Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I have no hope outside of You, and I'm asking You to forgive me my sin, come into my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you've never prayed that, I just want to tell you, we as a church can't pray it for you. That is one of those individual prayers that you need to pray yourself from your heart. Folks, there ain't no magic in the words. There's no magic in the prayer. It is you communicating your heart with the Lord Jesus about you realizing who you are and who He is and how you want that relationship to come together. And if you've never done that, you can pray the most absolute powerful prayer you've ever prayed in your life, because when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you get this thing called eternal life that you can't get anywhere else through any other means by any other person. So as we sing this final song, folks, the altar is open for anyone that wants to come up for prayer time, anyone that may want to receive the Lord today. You can pray right where you are. There's no magic in the altar. I don't want you to misunderstand it. I'm thinking the magic's up here.